Of us will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read a few of our verses one more time when we have all the kids dismissed. 1 Corinthians 10. And as Brother Eric read just a little while ago, we're going to be through reading verses 1 through 13. And when I read this text again, I don't always do this, but I want you to keep this in mind that ultimately Israel was an example to the Corinthians. And Paul wanted the children of Israel, or rather wanted the Corinthians, to understand the example that Israel could be to them. And just like he wanted the Corinthians to listen to the message from the Old Testament about about the Israelites, God today wants us to listen to his message from the Scriptures. Okay, now keep this in mind. God's counsel still works today. Can I get an amen to this statement? God's counsel still works today. Amen. Because it's true. Now keep that in mind. Let's take a look at a few verses again with me, please. It says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So very clearly, Paul is making the connection, the parallel of what Israel was going through to the fact that God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the rock all the way back in Moses, in the time of Moses. Okay? Now keep that in mind. Let's look at verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." That is, God was not well pleased because it shouldn't have happened. They had God. There was no reason for them to be overthrown. Okay, look at verse 6. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." And then verse 7 and 8, he goes through and he gives some very specific things, or sins, if you would, that Israel committed, and he says these were examples that the Corinthians themselves wouldn't follow the patterns or the examples that were laid down by the Israelites. Verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." Neither murmur, he says. Look at the last phrase of verse 10. "And were destroyed of the destroyer." So the last of verse 9, the last of verse 10, the consequence of this disobedience that Israel had to their Savior, which was the rock, capital R, Christ, in the Old Testament, was that they didn't have faith in him. They didn't trust him. And they were destroyed. And God wasn't pleased with that. Now, verse number 11. "Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples." Now, examples and in samples aren't the same. Ultimately, they create the same thing, but they don't mean the same thing. And we'll deal with that as we get into this. But in a similar way, it was an example. And they're to learn. Ultimately, they're to learn from the mistakes of the Israelites. They were to learn from their mistakes. That's what Paul is saying. Verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So there is the potential for somebody to think they're standing and need to take heed to the things that were examples in Israel, lest you fall, he says, into the same ensample or into the same mold as they fell into, or the ensample that they left as a pattern of doing it the wrong way. Okay, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But," say these three words with me, "God is faithful." I love that phrase. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray one more time together, and we'll get into this. Father, we do pray your blessings this morning, and we do pray that you'll bless your word, touch your word, touch our hearts. Help us to be open, God. I want to be changed. I do. I need to be changed, and I want to be changed. I pray that you'll work in me. God, please bring conviction to my heart. Help me to see once again the difference that you want me to make in my life. And Lord, I pray for faith to be obedient to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to think about this. We live in a culture that when they hear the counsel or the things of God, they're not really all that interested in the counsels of God. We see a culture that's all around us that isn't interested in God much at all. You know, the things of God, certainly, but the counsel of God doesn't seem to be something that is intriguing or interesting to them. God's ways versus the world's way. There's a certain conflict that's going on in our world today. And so as we go through our study this morning, I want you to keep it in mind that God wants us to listen to his counsel. He wants us to listen to the patterns that are laid down in his word, like the examples and ensamples that are there for us to learn from. And so God, Paul is clearly saying this to the Corinthians, that the Old Testament, those that were in the time of Moses, were examples and ensamples to be followed, to learn from their mistakes. And so God wants us today to learn and to be followers of the counsel of God, of the guidance and direction of God, whether it be an example or an ensample that we get from the scriptures. He wants us to follow his counsel. But why? And here's why. This is the note that I want you to keep in mind. Because it still works. God's counsel still works. It can be followed because it still works. It'll work for you as it worked for Israel. It will work for you as Paul counseled the Corinthians that would work for them. Now, I've counseled many people along the way, and one in particular that came about 4 years ago. We canvassed the town. We renamed the church, and in a sense, kind of restarted the church, and we didn't technically restart the church, but in a sense reintroduced to the town with not being First Baptist Church anymore, but now we're Valley Avenue Baptist Church, just kind of refresh, restart, the church to move forward. And so in that, we canvassed as many houses in town as we could by putting flyers on doors. While I was going from door to door putting these flyers out, there was a young man standing in his early 20s, standing on his porch, and I was walking to his door, and so I had face-to-face contact with him, and I gave him a flyer, and I said, "I'd like to invite you to come to our church," where, and I explained a little bit about what we're doing, and he seemed so excited about the fact that I was there. He said, "This is so weird. I was just talking to my wife this morning that we needed to go to church." And so I was excited, and he was excited. And so we canvassed the whole town, and we had high hopes that we'd have a big crowd on that day. And it just so happened that we woke up that morning, it wasn't snowing. It was in September, but it was raining like you can't believe. I mean, it was pouring out there, and I was in my heart broken because I knew that that rain would cause many to struggle and come into church. And even this young man, I wasn't much thinking about him, his wife, and his newborn baby. But here we go, and we're getting about 10 minutes away from the start of church. And we had our regulars here, Miss Marilyn, and there was a few others that were here, but nobody, no visitors. And so I was getting really saddened in my heart, wondering if our big day, we weren't even going to have one first-time guest. And then right before church, maybe 1 or 2 minutes before church starts, here comes that young man that I met at the porch. And he drove in with his wife and his little baby. And they came in, and we, had just started. And they sat on the back row. And I remembered how thrilled I was to see them come to church. And they were the only guests we had on that day. And I was saddened still, and I was thankful for our guests. I was saddened about, the crowd that we didn't have. And I think I tend to do that anyway, but we got through the service and everything was great, and God, I felt really used the service that day, and Anyway, everyone went home, and this young man and his family went home, and I went to his house on Tuesday that week, and I talked to him about the gospel, and he said that he'd like to receive Jesus as his Savior, and he and his wife asked Christ into their heart there on their couch on that Tuesday. I met him on Sunday, and Tuesday they both received the Lord, at least confessed their need of salvation and wanted to ask him to save them, and so I was We praise the Lord, we rejoice together. And they came for quite a while after that, several weeks, even months, and then started to miss a lot. And next thing I know, they weren't coming at all. And I would meet with Zach, I would pull him aside and I'd say, "Hey, listen, Zach, you know," I'd counsel him. I would tell him what God wanted him to do. But he would never do what I said. He would never listen to my counsel. He would continue to just really ignore what I was asking him or teaching him to do. And it wasn't but just maybe a year or so after that that Zach took his own life. And I was really, as you can understand, I was heartbroken about that. But in the end, here's what took Zach down this road where he decided to do that. It was a decision. It was constant, conscious decision day after day to reject the counsel that he was receiving from the Word of God, okay? He consciously chose to reject the counsel. And here's, I think, a lot of the reasons why this type of thing happens is because, in a sense, people wonder if God's counsel will work for them. And they struggle that if I obey God's counsel, is it going to work for me? But I want you to know that God's counsel will still work today, and there's nothing spectacular that we need to do other than just being obedient to Him. It's God's counsel. It's not any, you know, man's counsel. It's His that works. And you know, just like trends that come and go, often people view God's counsel like trends, as something that comes and goes. But God's counsel isn't like a trend that is popular for a time and then it's not popular anymore. God's counsel is timeless and it works for every generation. It would have worked for Zach had he listened. And even though, yeah, it's dated back to Bible times, it would have worked for him. It doesn't get old. It doesn't go out of fashion. It always works. It always works. I remember when I was working with junior kids in Bible college. I was the junior church pastor, if you would, and I had all these kids in my class. And you know, during like what the Chad's doing right now. And I remembered I dressed up like a like an older person, you know. To it was just sort of a skit that I did. And so I had this suit and a wig, and I had a cane and glasses and all that. I just really did the whole thing, you know. And as a matter of fact, there's a young lady who was in that group who's at Heartland right now. I saw her a few weeks ago, and she remembers when I dressed up like that guy, you know. She brought it up to me. I thought it was fun, really great. But that suit that I had on, I mean, I probably wouldn't wear it to church. And it was, you know, it wasn't have any holes in it. I found it at the thrift store for like 50 cents, and it smelled like mothballs, you know, and it was like bell bottoms and stuff. So, you know, trends, they come and go, right? But God's word isn't like that. It doesn't come and then it's out of fashion or out of style or it doesn't work anymore. It's timeless. It works then and it works the same today. God doesn't change. Aren't you glad to hear that this morning? God doesn't change. We change, but He doesn't. The Corinthians needed to learn to listen to God's counsel because He doesn't change. His blessings don't change. It worked then, it can still work today. And so Paul was teaching the Corinthians to listen to the message from the Old Testament, the stories of Moses. God has a message for you, Paul is saying to the Corinthians. If you'll just listen to the message that's being preached about Moses, consider the rock, he says. That rock isn't just some ordinary rock that the water is pouring out of. That rock is Jesus. And that rock still, as it worked then, he'll still water you today, he says. You got to listen to these messages because they still work. The miraculous works that we see God do along the way, He can still do it today. There's doubt, though. As they observed or listened to these messages, if you can imagine being a Hebrew growing up in the house of a Jew and you're hearing all of the Hebrew stories. I sometimes remember Paul whenever Paul was a child, and I preached through that sermon whenever he was, saved on the Damascus Road, and I rehearsed that in my mind as Paul grew up in a Hebrew. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He grew up in Tarsus, which was a Greek place, but he grew up in a Hebrew home, so he understood both cultures. He was Grecian in that sense, so he knew Greek in the culture, he knew Hebrew in the culture because he grew up in the home, so he understood the Old Testament at a very young age. He would have had large portions of Scripture memorized, large portions at a young age, like the book of Deuteronomy. Anybody got the book of Deuteronomy memorized? At a young age, he would have had large portions memorized of the Old Testament. So if anybody knew the Scriptures, it was a Jewish child and a Jew that grew up in a traditional Jewish home. So as Paul here is preaching to the Corinthians, he's saying, you know these stories. You know about Moses. You know about the rock. You know about the manna, as we've been studying. You know about the quails. You know about, the water that was bitter. And remember the tree that was placed in the water. The tree was Jesus. The rock was Jesus. He's the one that makes things that are bitter sweet. He's the rock which the water of life comes out of. It's Christ. But these Jews would have heard these messages about Moses, and they would have known the stories, but they never would have connected Jesus to those things. They wouldn't have seen that until they came to church, a gospel preaching church that preached the Bible, and that's what Paul did. And he got up there and he would preach the Bible. Now imagine you're in Corinth and the church is being established, and I'm preaching to you from Corinthians. But in Acts chapter 18, when Paul went to Corinth and started the church, they didn't have 1 Corinthians yet. The church wasn't even there. So when Paul went to the synagogues, and when Paul went from house to house, and he taught the Scriptures, what do you think he's teaching? Well, yeah, he would be teaching about Jesus, but where would he be teaching Jesus from? The Old Testament. He's opening up Genesis. He's opening up Exodus. He's opening up the books of the law. He's opening up the prophets. He's going through Psalms. He's preaching the Proverbs. And he's preaching Jesus. That's his message. And you've got these Jews. They know all these stories. They've heard them 100 million times. They got them memorized. And so they hear this stuff and they get used to it. And they're not sensing that there's power there, because they know all of this stuff. And they forget, don't they? They're being forgetful about the power that's in this, the word. And so Paul is preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. They're hearing the story. Rather, he's preaching about Moses. He's telling them that it's the connection between the rock and the Savior Christ. Look at verse number 1 with me. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. You see that phrase, all our fathers? He would have been talking about Moses, but he would have been also talking about, Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the sons of Jacob and of course, Joseph. And Joseph bringing deliverance, taking them to Egypt, and then the 400 plus years they're in Egypt, and then God raises a leader named Moses who stands and leads the children of Israel out of captivity. He would have been talking about being the fathers of the patriarchs, all of those men. And every story that would have been taught about the Old Testament would have been pointing back to the ultimate deliverer, which was Christ himself. And so Paul is preaching this, but there's a breakdown there. The church is hearing these messages, but they're not seeing the spiritual connections. Look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink and drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them. Look at that. That rock followed them. In other words, every place the children of Israel are going in their journeys, whether it be in captivity or whether it be in the wilderness journeys or their journey to the promised land through the times of Joseph and the times of the judges where God would bring up deliverers and the time of the prophets and the time of the where they're taken away into captivity of the Babylonians, all of that, the rock, capital R, has followed them every step of the way. Bringing deliverance, bringing His touch. But they forget. They forget that He's there. They forget that He's taking care of them. They figure they got to figure it out themselves. And their circumstances aren't just right. I mean, things aren't going as good as I think they should go. And then they begin to doubt the sovereignty of God. Can God really get me through this? Is God truly in control? I mean, the bitter waters, what did they do when the waters were bitter? Well, they didn't get on their knees and start praying. They started murmuring and complaining to Moses. And they blamed Moses. They were pointing their fingers. They weren't happy. They were fighting against the leadership of God. They were fighting against Moses. They were fighting against God. And in the end, Moses would give counsel, and we see this all through the life, but I'm telling you, let's just rehearse what we've been studying in Exodus. Whenever God gave them instructions about the manna that He's going to send to feed them from manna from heaven, He's going to feed them. I mean, we can see Christ taking care of them, the bread of life, taking care of them every step of the way, the analogy pointing right back to Jesus, right back to Jesus, taking care of them every step of the way, can't we? But they receive instruction from the man of God, Moses. He says, God wants you to do this. That's counsel, by the way. God wants you to do this. Moses said it, but the information came from God. He wants you to gather up only enough of manna for the day. Did they do that? No. They gathered up extra, because they didn't believe that manna could possibly... Well, you know, I'm going to get some extra manna just in case tomorrow there's no manna. So what happened to the manna? Extra manna that they... It bred worms and it stank. That's what happened when they didn't listen to the council. And then, whenever it was time... It blows my mind. Then when it was time for them to actually get extra because of the Sabbath day... God says, okay, now on Saturday, to prepare for the Sabbath day, I want you to get 2 days' worth of manna just for that day, because on the Sabbath day, I don't want you to go out and gather any manna. And so then on that day, they didn't gather 2 days. And so they went out looking for manna, and there was none. It just simply, listen, they received counsel, and they didn't listen to it. And over, we see that instead of going to God in prayer and seeking God in obedience, they murmured, they complained. And here's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. These things are examples for you. You watch the children of Israel complaining. I want you to understand, they are complaining, but they're being disobedient. They're not listening to God's counsel. This is an example. It bred worms and it stank. There was nothing there. Look at the destruction that followed Israel every time they were disobedient to the counsel of the man of God, through God's counsel through the man of God every time. It always brought destruction. It always brought pain. It always brought suffering every single time. You just watch the history. Every time it brought problems to them. That's an example. Have you ever heard this? Let's learn from the mistakes of others. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever made a conscious decision along the way? I'm not going to do that because look what happened to them. You know, I did that when I was a kid. My sister, you know, was clowning around and broke something of my dad's. And anyway, she received correction for that, which I could hear two doors down. And I decided I'm not going to do that. It was like I consciously made that decision. I'm not going to do that. My kids do that. You know, the ones that are wise, they do that. And I wish they were more wise, but anyway, they see one of their brothers get, you know, what is it? Smite the scorner and the simple will be made wise. Anyway, that happens in my home. Live illustrations of that in my house. One kid gets in trouble, receives correction, and the other three completely straighten up, like, boing, you know what I'm talking about? So they're like, I'm going to learn from that mistake. I'm not going to do that. That's what God wants all of us to do. But watch Paul. He's explaining to the church, listen, I'm not just blowing wind here whenever I'm telling you the Bible lessons from the Old Testament. These things are written for a purpose. They're not to be ignored. They're not to be neglected. They're not to be, just sort of, you decide if you want to do it or not. The consequences are the same for the children of Israel in the time of Moses as they are for the Corinthians when Paul was preaching the message. If the counsel is not received, the same thing is going to happen to them that happened to the Israelites. This is what Paul is saying. Listen, these are examples for you to follow. Now, the word example is an interesting word. It's not interesting necessarily because of the Greek word or because something fascinating, you understand. But it's interesting when you parallel it with ensample. Now, let's do that. This is a really fun thing that I did in my studies, and I think you'll find it very helpful, okay? Why does Paul use the word example, and then later on, in the same story, or really the same message, receiving God's counsel and not ignoring it, because God's counsel still works today, he uses the word ensample, and here's why. The word example means a copy or a replica, okay? Like, so if you have an example, then what you have is a copy, or, you know, like a replica of it. That's an example. So if, I say I'm going to give you an example, then what I would show you is a copy. Not the real thing, but a copy of it, right? The word ensample has to do with a mold or a cast, okay? It's what creates the example. It's the ensample, okay? Now, in the end, they both are the same thing. One is the example, the actual live product. The other is what creates the product, the mold. So let's say that your life is the raw material. Are you ready for this? The Corinthians' lives were the raw material. Like the melted gold or the melted material that we're going to put in a mold or in a cast. Okay? So we take this raw material and we pour it into the mold. We pour it into the cast and then we let it set and dry. That's an ensample. Once you take it out of the mold, what you have now is an example. Okay? The example is what everybody sees. We are an example. And we walk through life, we go through life. The Corinthians were an example. Therefore, the Israelites, in the time of Moses, when they disobeyed, they became an example because of the consequences. Look what they suffered, right? This is obvious. Look what happened to them. They were bitten and killed of serpents. They were destroyed of the destroyer, which is many destroyers. It's general because they had so many destroyers. The one who brings destruction to them. That's the destroyer. And so that's the example. It did happen. It's the product. The mold is the pattern that's laid. If the Corinthians follow the same pattern as the Israelites, if the Corinthians followed the same pattern and did the same things and disobeying God's counsel, they're going to be the examples. The same thing is going to happen to them because they didn't listen. You see? So God says these are examples for you, and they're in samples. So if you follow God's counsel or if you reject God's counsel, the consequences are going to be the same for you. It's not going to be different for you than it was for them. It's going to turn out the same. And so the Israelites rejected God's counsel. That's why Paul says in our text, verse number 6, look what it says. Now these things were our examples. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians when he says that. Now look what he says in verse 6 after that. He says, to the intent we should, what's the next word? Not. And we could just stop right there because that's the intent of those examples and ensamples. That you would not do this. And then it lists a whole bunch of things. So in other words, when God gives counsel, he's trying to protect us. He's saying, I want you not to go down this road. I want to save you from some trials, he says. Yeah. I remember vividly when I made the conscious decision, I'm never going to ride a motorcycle unless somebody points a gun at me or something. Some of you, don't be upset about this. I know you got motorcycle stuff. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, whatever about motorcycle. I'm just saying I made my conscious decision I'm never going to ride a motorcycle on purpose. It's because I was just a little guy. And you know how little guys are. I know four times over how they are. Because, you know, you get around somebody who has an ailment or a particular, you know, physical issue, and they just stare. I'm like, you know, and he just, don't stare, you know. And so I was staring at this guy who's at our house, a friend. I don't remember. I was young, 5, 6 years old, and he was missing a leg. And he had a prosthetic leg. And I was just like staring at him, you know, and you know, like every child does. What happened? You know, my mom's like, what are you doing? You know, don't do that. I mean, his only words were this. I don't remember anything he said. He didn't tell me the story. He just said this to me. He said, never ride a motorcycle. I made a decision at that moment. I am never going to ride a motorcycle. It was easy, you know. And I know that doesn't necessarily always the case, but I'm just telling you, that impressed me. You see? It was an end sample. What happened to him? He's the mold. What happened to him? I said, I don't want that to happen to me. So that in sample became an example for me to say, I don't want to do this. The Old Testament references to Moses and the children of Israel being disobedient to God were examples and became in samples. Where Paul says to the Corinthians, don't do what they did. Okay? Do you think God's message is any different for you and me? No. He wants us to learn from the examples and in samples of the Word of God, of course. Listen to the counsel of God. It still works today the same as it did then. Why is that true, Pastor? Well, what does it say in the next reference? I believe, let's not get too far ahead. Let's go to verse number 12. No, yes, verse 12, right. Yeah, verse 12. Wherefore let him that, and this is where we find our tendency here, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now that's what we tend to do. We tend to think we don't really need the counsel of God. He says, thinketh that he standeth. Well, what does that mean? Well, the context is talking about Moses and the rock and the children of Israel who disobeyed the counsel of God. That's the context. Israel didn't think they needed to listen, did they? Well, obviously they didn't. And they went down their road and it brought destruction every single time. And so Paul says, now we need to take heed, speaking to the Corinthians, and he says, you need to take heed lest you fall. Well, what is that? Those that think they stand like Israel thought they stand. In other words, God gives counsel that comes through the man of God, the preacher, which was Moses, or the pastor, which would be your pastor today, who preaches God's word, which is from a book that's 2,000 years old, friend, and the Old Testament's even older. And so we're giving messages from a book that's really old, a really old book. And sometimes we think, well, you know, the Bible is 2,000 years old. And I'm not really sure that those principles will work the same today as they worked all those years ago. You know, it's the 2000s. I don't even know what it is. It used to be, it's the 90s, man, you know. And then it was the 2000s. So I don't even know now. It doesn't even matter, but if you can imagine the Corinthians saying to Paul, you're living in the BCs, man. You're living in the BCs. Anyway, some of y'all got that, but he's saying, get out of the BCs. No. The BCs still work today. And they weren't wanting to listen to the message. They were thinking that they stand. He said, oh, no. Don't think you stand. But that's our tendency. We don't think we need the counsel. We don't think we need it. And that's what they were doing. But here's what he says next. He says, oh, you're not as strong as you think you are, really. Verse 13, it says, there is no temptation. Now, I'm going to quote it wrong, but there is no temptation that is common, that it come to you that is not common to man. Can somebody say it to me? I don't have my Bible with me. Taken you, but such as common to man. You know what that phrase common to man means? It means that it's common to mankind. So it doesn't matter what generation you were born in. It doesn't matter if you were born in the Noah's day, or if you were born in the day of Abraham or Joseph, or if you were born in the time of the judges, or all through the Old Testament, the intertestamental time, the time of Alexander the Great, and then through that transition of the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire when Jesus was on the scene and the Romans who crucified Christ, that was 2,000 years ago. And we have all these things. Here's what Paul is saying. There is no temptation that has taken any person that's in the human history of the human race that isn't common to every human that's ever lived. So in other words, you have the same problems that they had. And you know what's even more amazing about this? Is the answers, which is that God is faithful. You know what that word faithful means? God doesn't change. He's faithful. So what God was in those days, he's still that way today. So that means the consequences, because God is faithful, the consequences that Israel received because they didn't listen to the council would still happen to the Corinthians the same way because God is faithful, he hasn't changed, and would still happen to you and me today because God hasn't changed. And so if we reject God's counsel, if the Corinthians rejected God's counsel, and if you and I reject it, we're going to receive the consequences just the same because God hasn't changed. He is faithful. That's the negative side. But what about the positive side? Oh, this is the good news. That God's blessings, because he is faithful, are still the same. It says in the last part of that verse that he will not bring a temptation on you that you will not be able to bear. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God with Israel, let's come over here. We're back here in the BCs, and we have Moses delivering a message to the children of Israel, and they wondered if it would work. And here's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. If Israel would have listened to God, it would have worked. It would have worked because God would have given them the ability to bear it. He is faithful, right? And then we come up here to the current age Paul was writing to, and the Corinthians were receiving this message, and Paul is telling them, it would still work for you today, Paul is saying. Because God is faithful, the blessings would still pour out on you if you would listen to the counsel. And it's the same for you and me today. If we would just listen to God's counsel, then God's blessings would pour just the same because God is faithful. This is such a great truth. I mean, I can almost feel or sense that, you know, if Israel would have just been willing to listen to God's counsel, then ultimately God would have protected them. He was there. He was following them. He was with them every step of the way. But their decisions to reject the counsel brought destruction on them, And there are examples for the Corinthians that they wouldn't go down that path and receive the same kind of destructions. Paul wanted the Corinthians to learn from their mistakes and say, I'm not going to make those same mistakes. I'm going to trust that God's counsel works today. I'm going to listen to the preaching of God's word. I'm going to listen to the counsel of the pastor. I'm going to listen to God when he speaks to my heart through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I know what he is leading me to do because of the preaching of God's word. However, that it is a common tendency of man to think that we don't need the counsel. And in addition to that, we get frustrated to a man of God or at a man of God who tries to give us counsel at times. Why? Well, because we don't either A, feel that we need it. You know, let me say it a different way. At times, people have a tendency to not like when somebody tells them what to do. I don't know if you're like that, but it could be that you say, I don't like it when somebody is telling me what to do. I mean, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so when the pastor gives counsel, here's what he says. You need to do this. Well, if you don't want to do that, then you don't like that counsel, right? And then now there's friction. But the pastor is responsible not to tell you what you want to hear. He's responsible to tell you what God says. So that these are examples and in samples, and here's what God wants you to do. This is what you need to do. So he's very specific. You need to do this. But sometimes we don't like it whenever somebody tells us what we need to do. And at the same time, we don't like it when somebody tells us what we need to stop doing. Because sometimes it's not what we need to do, it's what we need to stop doing. Hey, listen, you're doing this, and according to the scriptures, it's wrong, and you need to stop. Oh, well, who's he to tell me what I need to stop? You see? And so that friction that's caused by our lack of desire to follow the counsel, here's what Paul is saying. It will bring the same destruction it brought to Israel and to any Corinthian who would reject it. It's going to come to you. So if you decide you don't need the counsel, you already know the end. It will bring ultimate destruction. Well, what do you mean? Like if you're lost this morning, you don't have eternal hope. Like you don't know if you're saved. And there's a question that's out there. Can somebody really know that they're saved? And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that you can know, K-N-O-W. You can know that you have salvation. You can know that. And so you receive the counsel that you need to be saved, but then something in you says, well, I don't know if I really need that or if I want that. And what you do with that counsel will determine your ultimate destination, whether you're going to go to heaven or not. Right? The same is true in our Christian life. If you are saved and God leads and he works in you, he works in your behalf and he's telling you what he wants you to do and he says, this is what you need to do, this is what you need not to do. Well, how we respond to that is going to determine what kind of blessings or cursings fall in our life. Now, let me say this. This is why you need to do this, okay? This is why you need to listen to this message today. Because I'm probably certain in here that there's not anybody that's in this room that doesn't want to be blessed by God. Everybody in here wants to be blessed. You want to live a life that is blessed and is a glory to God. I believe that. There might be somebody in here who's not really all that interested in that. But I'd say probably for the most part, if we did a survey and you were honest, you would say, I want to be blessed and I want to glorify God with my life. And I want you to listen to this counsel. That you cannot be blessed and glorified by God if you don't listen to biblical counsel. If you don't listen to the preaching, if you don't listen to the scriptures, if you're not listening, for whatever reason you decide you don't need it, then you cannot be blessed and you cannot glorify God. It can't happen. But you will be blessed. And it will be a glory to God if you so choose this morning that you're going to listen to the counsel of God, the teaching, the preaching, the scriptures when you're in your personal studies, when you say, I'm going to listen to this because it still works today. God's blessings will pour out on you the same today as God would do that for any generation, for any generation. It's timeless. So I hope this morning that you'll make that decision. Listen to God's counsel because it still works today. Still works today. Father, we love you this morning. We do pray that you'll help us to take heed to your counsel, God, and we know that it'll work. We trust your word. Pray for your help this morning. Lord, it might be that somebody here doesn't know they're saved. I pray that you bring conviction to them. And God, I don't know who is or isn't saved this morning, but you do. And I pray that you bring conviction. I pray the Holy Spirit would bring conviction to them, that they would know they have a need. God, you draw them unto you, and we'll give you glory for that. Maybe somebody here is running from you. I pray you bring conviction to them and draw them to obedience and faith, that your counsel still works today, and we'll give you glory for that too, in Jesus' name.